I'm Mike Salem. Our desire at Christian Worship Hour is to bring comfort, hope, and encouragement from God's Word. Today's message, Watch Out for Mrs. Potiphar, is the second in a series on Joseph reminding us that in good times or bad, we need our Lord Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad you've opened the doors for us to come in to be with you. And we're going to have a good sermon today. We're going to be thinking about Joseph. This month we have four sermons on Joseph. And today we're going to look at Watch Out for Mrs. Potiphar. And you all know the story, and so just stay with us. Call your friends and have them listen to us. But before the message, I want to read some of the letters. We just get so many wonderful letters, and it kind of gives a little idea where people are and what they're asking. And so the first letter comes from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And listen to this. I am 101 years old. And when I read that, I was just disgusted. I'm 95, and I thought I was the oldest, and here she is. She's got 6 years on me. It's just disgusting. She writes, I am 101 years old. I've been a widow for 15 years, but still live alone in our home. The Christian Worship Hour is my church service every Sunday morning. Thank you so much. And so when I read that, I thought of how God tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That is, you have a time for us to be born, a time to die. And let us be sure to have the wisdom to love you, Jesus, and serve you and honor you in all things. Here's a letter from Fargo, North Dakota. Listen to this. And my guess is that there's so many of you listening is going to just feel the same way as this lady writes, young lady. She said, Dear Pastor, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I pray to him, but I was wondering if he will come into my heart, even though I'm not 100% sure if I believe. I do believe, but it scares me that I might go to hell since I don't know. I watch videos of people telling stories about seeing Jesus. It is hard to explain. Do people 100% believe even though they are not sure? I just want to go to heaven and meet Jesus, not go to hell. Is there anything I can do? You know, I went through this same thing. I thought, I prayed when I was 10 years old, accept Jesus. And then I thought, oh, do I have enough faith? Did I say the right words? Am I sure? See? Well, you know, there's a story of a man, and he had his son, and he was casting himself into the fire and hurting himself. And the disciples couldn't cure him and heal him, and Jesus came and healed him. And then they said, how could you do it but not we do it? And this is what Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now listen to this. This is what I want you to hear. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In the same breath. That's Mark 9, verse 23 and 24. And what this man is saying, he doesn't know if he's got 100% or not, but he believes, and that's all he needs to do. If you have the tiniest little faith, God will save you. This is what in Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall remove, spade through this mountain, and remove it to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's so tiny you can't hardly see it. And so Jesus is saying, if you got the tiniest bit of faith, you just put that tiny little bit of faith in me, and I'll save your soul, and you're born again. Oh, the glorious gospel. Here is Anchorage, Alaska. And they write, I so enjoy your program way up here in Alaska. I know you minister to millions across the world. You're truly a blessing to us all. God bless you for your faithfulness. I called this lady, and you know where she lives? You know the name of her town? North Pole. North Pole, Alaska. I talked to her. She goes to the Nazarene Church. She plays the organ there, and the piano there. And I forgot to ask her if Santa Claus went there or not. But there she, way up in Alaska, isn't that wonderful? And we're all gathered together all over the world, one spot at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? One more letter. Waterloo, New York. I pray for the Christian Worship Hour. It brought me back to Christ in 2004. Brought me back. You know, there are many people that are Christians that drifted away. They got mad at something, or they got their feelings hurt, or they got into sin and they drifted away. You can always come back. That's the beauty of the gospel, that I can tell you that no matter what your sin is or what you've done, you can come back to Jesus. Oh my God, what a wonderful message. And we have, by the way, get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give the address. We have a little booklet called, and it's entitled, If Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. And if you'd like to have it, we'll send it free and postpaid. If you can send something to help, it's about a 14-page little booklet, and it's filled with scripture. It's not what I think or if I had a dream or a vision. It's the Word of God. And this is where you write to. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want it, you just write and say, Salvation, and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. But now, let's take a look at this here. Watch out for Mrs. Potiphar. Our story in the life of Joseph begins today. And he's sold into slavery to a caravan of Ishmaelites. And they're coming from Gilead with their camels. And they're bearing spices and balm and myrrh. They're going to Egypt. And as they come by this part of the land, here they are, Joseph's hateful brothers. They have put Joseph in this cistern, maybe going to kill him. But when this caravan comes through, they sell their own brother, their own flesh and blood. They sell them to this caravan, and going down to Egypt, they sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now these men sell their brother for 20 pieces of silver. And so he's taken down to Egypt, and Joseph is put in the slave market. And now he's there, and here comes a man named Potiphar. He's captain of Pharaoh's royal guard. He's looking for a slave, and he looks them all over because they come from the north and the east and the south and the west, and they're all there on this market. And he looks and he examines this for Joseph. He examines his body, and his expert eyes ensures him of, he inquires of his nationality, and he drives a bargain and he buys Joseph. And there you have it. Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. Now look at Joseph. He could have felt deserted by God, couldn't he? He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have had a first-class pity party. He could have moaned and groaned to high heaven. But what did he do? None of these things. He has a firm faith in God. He accepted the situation. He determines he's going to be the very best. And we can take a lesson from that, dear friend. You just, wherever God takes you or puts you, you just be faithful and loyal there. Let's bloom where we are planted. Play the hand that you're dealt. Make the best of what you have. My dad taught me that you needed whatever you do the best you can. And that was Joseph. He says, if I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be a good slave. And because of Joseph's industriousness and his faithfulness and his sterling character, God blessed the whole house of Potiphar. Put a special blessing on it. And Potiphar recognized the fact that God was blessing his house because of Joseph. He could see it in the life of Joseph. God's hand was upon him. He could see that God's hand was upon him. He could see that he was a man of faith and of conviction. He could see that he had personal charm. Today we call it charisma. And Potiphar could have clearly seen that his house was blessed and prospered because of Joseph. So the hard-nosed captain of the guard puts Joseph in charge of the entire household. Except Potiphar's wife, everything is Joseph's except his wife. That's fair enough. Which brings us to Potiphar's wife. No need to go over the sordid details. You read it 100 times or more. Just like David and Bathsheba, the world has read the story of 1,000 times over. Oh, they love to read the sins of the saints. Oh, they love to do that. instead of thinking of what a great man they were and how they repented of their sins and how they served God and practiced self-denial and gave their whole body, soul, and spirit to God. Instead of doing that, they just read the stuff, the smutty stuff. But here, sooner or later, you're going to come into Potiphar's wife. Sooner or later down the road, you're going to run into her, and you're going to encounter temptation hot and heavy. It doesn't necessarily have to be sex, as it is in Joseph's case. It can be a thousand different things that she can tempt you. It can be with Judas, it can be the love of money. With King Herod, it's the love of power. With Demas, it's the love of the world. With Peter, denial of Peter, it was the pride of life, and on and on. Oh, yes, yes, you bet. Mrs. Potiphar is looking for you, and she doesn't always wear a skirt. She comes as an emissary of Satan. And St. Paul warns us of this very thing. Satan comes to tempt us. And listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so Mrs. Potiphar can come to you in a thousand different ways. And I'm going to tell you, she can come at any time or any part of the age of your life. It doesn't matter. Some people think they've been a Christian now for some time, and so they think that they can stand anything. They think they're going to be so strong Christians, they're never going to sin, they're never going to fail. And then the temptation comes, and then when this comes, he's going to follow you from the cradle to the grave, and he's never going to give. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, whether you're just born again yesterday or during this service. I know some of you are going to be born again during this service, because I know some of you are going to pray to accept Jesus into your heart. And when you'd make that one little prayer, you're born again, you're a child of God, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that's going to happen. And so here he is. He's going to come, and the closer you get to Jesus, the hotter the temptation's going to be. Satan, you know, somebody has said, Satan aims high. When he comes to tempt, he doesn't stop with just the little poor little fellow on the street. He comes, well, look at here. When he wanted somebody to sell the Lord Jesus, he went to the treasurer of the company. When he wanted someone to deny Jesus, he went to the chief apostle. When he wanted to call down fire from heaven on the Samaritans who refused disciples' hospitality, he went to John, who was the nearest to the heart of Jesus, because he gave his mother in the keeping of John. And he wants to call fire on innocent people, he goes to John, the most loving of the disciples. When he saw David as one of the greatest men of his day, he went and brought him low. When he saw Noah righteous among the sinners, he went and got him drunk. And he went to Adam and Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. He went to the angels in heaven and caused them to fall. Satan aims high. Listen to me. He even tempted the Son of God Almighty himself. And you know what? He tempted him at church, at the temple. He's not afraid to come to you. Satan isn't intimidated. He'll strike anyone, anywhere. And so, listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Notice that. The flesh is weak. Oh, my God, how weak that flesh is. Peter declared he would never deny the Lord. But he sure did, and he did it big time. And we don't know ourselves, and our flesh is weak. And if we don't stay close to Jesus Christ, Mrs. Potiphar is going to come in one form or way or another, and you're going to fall, and you're going to fall hard. Because she has so many ways of coming. Just remember, friend of mine, Mrs. Potiphar is hanging around town. She's looking for you. She wants to get her hands on you like she did Joseph. She wants to trap you, and just like she tried to trap Joseph 3,000 years ago. So when you meet her, as you will, you do what Joseph did. And what did Joseph do? He ran away. He ran away. He got out of there. In Genesis 39, verse 12, How could I sin this terrible sin against God? And he fled and ran outside. You bet. The next time the old gang wants you to smoke a joint or take a snort or do something evil or something wrong, you run for your life and get away from that gang, get away from that company, and find Christian people that will support and help you. So Mrs. Potiphar, she's tempting Joseph, and here he runs away, and she's madder than a wet hen. And before she's through, Joseph is in prison again. He's back in prison. At first flush, it makes you want to laugh because, according to Mrs. Potiphar, Joseph tried to rape her. And what did Potiphar do? Put him in prison. Now listen, you know why he put him in prison? He put him in prison because he knew his wife was lying. If he would have really believed his wife that this man tried to rape his wife, he would have cut his head off or he'd have drowned him in the Nile River. He'd have done away with him. He knew she was lying. He knew what kind of a woman it was. So to shut her up, he had to shut up Joseph, put him in prison. And the Bible says he was in a dungeon. In other words, he was in hell on earth. Imagine if you were in Joseph's place. So far as I can tell, he must have been in his late 20s. No one knows for sure, but he was in a pit. That's where he started from, that pit near his home near Hebron. And now he's sold into Egypt. Now he's in a prison. He's in the pit again. And this woman unjustly attacks him. He's back in prison. Have you ever been unjustly entreated or charged something against you and you knew you were innocent? Joseph could have been very bitter. He was as honest and he was innocent as the day is long. And he could say, oh God, look what you did here. I'm in this dirty, lousy, stinking prison. I tried to do my best, Lord. I'm innocent, Lord. I tried to stand up for you. And she lied about me and I'm in prison. And Joseph might have said, oh my God, I did the best I can. And then he might have said, oh, where are you, God? I trusted God. I leaned upon God. I did the best I could to serve God. And yet, where is God? I don't see him. Genesis 39:21 says, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph didn't know it. Joseph didn't feel it. Joseph didn't see it. Joseph didn't sense it. But nevertheless, God was with him. And right there in the rotten, dirty dungeon, he was with him. Remember what the psalmist says? The psalmist said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Joseph, instead of moping and feeling sorry for himself, counted it a joy to suffer for Christ's cause and the wonderful work of Christ. He was glad to do it, and that's what St. Paul did. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, Paul says in the next verse, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God Almighty, we gotta trust him and never doubt him. And maybe you're hurting today, and maybe you're down and out, and maybe you're sick, and maybe you're getting a divorce. Maybe your home is breaking up, or the kids are all wrong. You just stay close to Christ and you trust in the Lord Jesus and don't turn your back on God. He's there. He'll see you through. Joseph didn't feel sorry for himself. He never questioned God. Instead, Joseph kept his eye on God. His one focus was on God. He lived a godly life in the dungeon. He loved and trusted God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul. And then what? God took him out of prison. Took him out of prison. How did he do that? Well, you know, we'd say, where are you? God has a plan. And God has told Joseph, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm your God. I know what you're going through. And I'm with you even always to the end of the world. I'm always there. And so this is how he took him out of prison. Old Pharaoh had a dream. He had, as a matter of fact, he had two dreams. In the first dream, he was by the Nile River, And out of the Nile River come seven fat cattle into that beautiful green meadow coming out of that river. And then all of a sudden here come six, seven skinny cows out of that river. And they ate the fat cows. Cannibal cows. You ever hear of such a thing? And Pharaoh says, what in the world does that dream mean? And somehow or other, I don't know how it happened, but he went back to sleep. And he dreamed another dream. And in this, he saw seven beautiful pieces of corn, grain of corn. And the heads of grain of corn came out on one stalk, and it was just fat. It was filled with grain. And then pretty soon, here comes another seven more stalks of grain, and they're skinny and they're empty, and they eat up the good fat grain, and it's gone. And Pharaoh goes about berserk, and he calls his magicians, and he calls his fortune tellers, and he calls his wise men, and he calls his soothsayers, and he calls his hocus pocus people, or whatever you call them, and none of them can interpret the dream. But now look at what happened. Joseph was in prison, there was a butler, a baker and a butler. They had a dream, and Joseph, by the power of God, he always gave God the glory. He interpreted what that dream meant. And it meant that the butler would go free while the baker would die. And so as the butler's going free, Joseph says to him, remember me when you get out of your prison. If you can help me in any way, be sure to do that. But the butler forgot about Joseph. And his name isn't always butler. We forget about doing what we ought to do. And so now here's Pharaoh, and he can't figure this out. And all of a sudden the butler thinks, oh my, Joseph in prison, he interpreted our dreams, and he had dreamed because of God helped him. And I'll bet he could take care of Pharaoh. And so he tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, bring him in. And Joseph tells him, first of all, he says, he gives all the credit to God. You want to be careful, Buster. When you take the work of God and you put it in your own hands, or anything, wealth or anything, and you get high and mighty, you're going to have a fall. And the first thing he did, he gave credit to God. And then he tells the coming seven-year famine. That prompts Joseph to give Pharaoh the remedy. And he says, now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. He's saying there's going to come a famine, and you need to have a wise man to watch over things and take care of things. And so lo and behold, sure enough, he accepts that instructions. And he says, well, this is what he says. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck. He made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh is saying, I'm going to make you the man. You're the man of wisdom to prepare us for the 7 years of famine. And by the grace of God, that's exactly what happened. And out from the rags to riches, you could say, out of that dirty old prison, now here's Joseph, second in command of all of Egypt. What a wonder. Next week, we're going to see, can Joseph handle riches? Most people can't. We're going to get that next week. But as I read this story, I was thinking, oh, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are in a dungeon of sin, and we're on our way to hell, and there's no way out for us. We can't work our way out. We can't buy our way out. And we're condemned, and we're under our sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that means not just physical death, that means eternal death. And then Jesus comes, and he says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that he believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God, that's hell. The wrath of God abides on him. It's all on Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven except through me, Jesus. I love the church, and I love baptism, and I love all the rest of it. But there's only one way. It's a person, Jesus Christ. And so it's in your court. Jesus is standing at your heart's door. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You know how to get him to come in? Just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. And if you make that prayer, you're a child of God and you're destined for heaven and you're born again. And if you made that prayer, you write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us and we'll send you scriptures and we'll send you some literature to help you get started on the Christian life. If you think this is a good enough program, if you think this is something God is using, you've got to help us. Jesus, God tells us you have not because you ask not. So we're telling you we need your help. And there's our address. And to those of you on the shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And now I'm going to pray for all of you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for all who are watching and listening today. And I pray especially for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church in Afghanistan. I pray that you give them courage and help. And those who have given their life, Lord, they're standing in your presence now wearing the martyr's crown. But those left behind need help and strength, and I know you'll do that, Lord. Help them not to give up and help all of us to be more dedicated when we see the lives of these people that give their life for you. And Lord, I pray for those on beds of sickness today and those who are aged and those who are shut in and those who can't get around anymore. And a lot of them are lonely, desperately lonely. And help them to know that you said, you never leave us or forsake us, and you always keep your word, and you are there. And when we have our services, they are a part of our wonderful church that goes all over the world. And we all gather together at the feet of Jesus, and they're part of that group. Oh, my God, we thank you that you love us and care for us. We thank you, you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that all around the world, people asking you into their heart. Others who drifted away will be coming back. And those Christians, Paul, as you told Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. May they be comforted. And may it all be to your glory. That's all we have in mind, dear Jesus, the glory of God and the help of his people. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank all of you for opening the door for us. Next week we'll be back. We're going to look at Joseph and how he handles that money. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.